you will activate production of VEGF. That increases delivery of oxygen to the capillary beds, especially in lung. People exercise better. It's funny to see the asthma person get treated when you improve capillary delivery of oxygen from VEGF. Specifically, erythropoietin also is turned on. Erythropoietin is the only compound that I know of yet that downregulates persistently elevated C4A. So if you think about it, high C4A is a real bad actor. Could you put people at altitude, turn on endogenous erythropoietin? Will that lower C4A? Yeah. And what happens to their cognitive effects? They improve. What happens to the symptoms? Gets better. Well, what if you just gave them supplemental erythropoietin? Well, you can do that too. Works very nicely. The real issue here is that in this link from environmental exposure to genetics, to inflammatory responses, to autoimmunity, we've got a complete circle. And you can identify each aspect and each element of this in your patients with your baseline blood test. The blood draws that we do here in my office do exactly that. The real issue in a lot of these patients is that if they've got low VEGF, they don't deliver much oxygen to capillary beds, and then you ask them to exercise, this kills me. You know, someone with a low anaerobic threshold, you send them out to do aerobic exercise. That's crazy. But they try it anyway, even go on a flight of stairs. And you'll just start huffing and puffing at about 4 or 5 steps. That person will have if you do a pulmonary stress test, you'll find their VO2 max is probably in the 10 to 12 range. That's the same level we see in stage 4 heart failure. If you blame it on someone who's overweight or someone who's deconditioned, not being an athlete, you'll be wrong. If you raise VEGF, you improve anaerobic threshold, you improve oxygen delivery, and you improve metabolic consequences. I've told you briefly that Th17 is a new player in collagen-induced arthritis and autoimmunity. Just for fun, when you get home, just do a quick PubMed search on TGF-beta-1. You say, my goodness, I don't read about this. Well, yeah, it's there. It's huge. And you will be reading about it next year and the year after. And I'm hoping that you'll start helping your patients by fixing TGF-beta-1. Collagen cross-linking is where this TGF-beta-1 information comes from. For years, I've looked at my patients who had wingspan greater than height, and they're long, slender. There was a picture of the U.S. swimmer who got 8 gold medals. He's from Maryland. And there he is taking his hand, putting it all the way down between the scapulae. And he's flexing his long finger down the proximal crease at his wrist. And he's got these huge feet. And I said, well, he looks like he's got Marfan's. But he doesn't. If we look at these people who have this extreme hypermobility and hyperflexibility, you'll find their collagen doesn't cross-link because they don't have the right amount of fibrillin 1. Now, this was shown in Hopkins in 1991. Hal Dietz's lab finally showed that low doses of Kozar in those patients blocks the TGF-beta-1 that goes nuts without fibrillin 1, and TGF-beta-1, if it's controlled, prevents aneurysm formation. What Dietz's group didn't know is that all those patients are the 0401, the dreaded genotypes, and they all have high TGF-beta-1 in plasma. Now, Dietz's group looks at TGF-beta-1 in tissue, and I look at it in plasma. Is there a correlation? Is this a receptor effect? What is it? It looks like it is real, that they are linked. Autoimmune hepatitis. Not too many literature hits for this one. They're all 0401, 0402, and 0404. Juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, idiopathic arthritis, begins with a complement activation. You look at these kids with their arthritis and their uveitis, they go on to get blindness. The rheumatologists won't know, but when you measure their TGF-beta-1s, they're off the top of the charts. Look at your dermatomyositis patients. You will find these things just going nuts. They're one after another. In autoimmunity, we will find a new role for innate immune responses. Methicillin-resistant coagulase-negative staphs. You know, I'm kind of doing an overview of what's important. The real issue is that up until the mid-80s, these coag-neg staphs, staph epidermidis, staph conii, staph